Welcome to the Executive Challenge Academy Leadership Program. This series will focus on leading through challenging times. And during the series, you'll hear from a range of special guests who each offer their own unique perspective on what it takes to lead decisively and successfully with care and compassion. I'm your host, Rebecca Archer, a journalist and media industry professional with more than 20 years' experience. Joining me on the podcast today is Liam Mayo, the Head of Community Planning and Development at the Sunshine Coast Council, a role he has held since early 2017. Liam has also worked for Multicultural Development Australia and gained international experience a decade ago with work in Bolivia and Argentina. Liam specialises in helping people navigate transformational change. He's especially passionate about working with marginalised communities and vulnerable people in complex environments to achieve sustainable, just, and desired futures. As a consultant, Liam has extensive international experience working with governments, the private sector, and non-government agencies to incorporate community engagement and development practices in the design and delivery of policies and strategies. Over the years, Liam has expanded his work to integrate strategic planning and foresight methodology in areas including education, health, housing, employment, domestic violence, youth, refugees, and disability services. Liam is a fellow with the Centre for Post-Normal Policy and Future Studies and an adjunct industry fellow for the School of Social Sciences at the University of the Sunshine Coast. In addition to all of this, Liam has participated in Executive Challenge Academy programs as a leader committed to his own ongoing growth and learning, but also to the ongoing development of others. In handing forward to others, he's built local networks of senior leaders committed to supporting future leaders. He's been a sponsor, a learning partner, and a presenter of his own leadership story, and we'll be hearing more about that story on today's episode. Liam Mayo, thank you so much for your time today. I'd like to start off by asking how your view of leadership has been evolving, specifically during the coronavirus pandemic.
I think for me, the coronavirus is really just the manifestation of change or significant change that's been happening for a while now, for over a decade now, in not just sort of the way people lead organisations or institutions or, you know, community groups, but I think just across the whole way we view society. And so I think coronavirus is really sort of bringing to the fore some of the things that the leaders have been thinking about for a while now. And I think when we think about the way businesses, organisations, you know, societies operate, things are getting increasingly sort of complex. The more interconnected we get, things are really chaotic. And then I think as people try to grapple with the chaos and the complexity, we start to get really contradictory in the way that we make decisions. And I think leaders have been trying to grapple with that for a while. So we're really forced through the coronavirus to think about, are the decisions that we're making, are the messages that we're sending out, do they continue to have the weight that they did before? Or are we just contradicting ourselves as we move forward? Because all of those things make life so uncertain when we think about complexity, chaos, and contradiction. And with that uncertainty, people are looking to leaders to provide some sort of certainty. And I think with coronavirus, you need to be really honest and say, maybe there is no certainty. We don't really know what's around the corner. And for me, the interesting part in all of that is, how do you be really honest with the people that you're trying to lead and say, you're looking to me for certainty on certain times. I'm actually not sure whether I can provide you with that certainty. So what I can do is I can be honest with you, I can relate to you, I can talk to you, I can walk alongside you, but I might not be the thing that provides you the certainty, but let's go look for that together. Or it might just be we're just both going to have to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable as we move forward. And I think that that's a really interesting place for leaders to be in, because, you know, traditionally we've looked at leaders as sort of these pillars, these stalwarts, people who are strong, people who aren't afraid to give direction when they need to, aren't afraid to sort of be compassionate or empathetic when they need to be as well, aren't afraid to be relational. We're always encouraged to be relational when we're leaders. But what coronavirus has showed us is you kind of need to throw all of those ways of thinking and being out the window, take a complete review of what all of those things mean, and then start afresh. And that you know, while it's confronting and the existential threat of the coronavirus is very real and the impacts of that are very real, I think it's an exciting time too to be a leader, because people are popping up as leaders in all sort of different quadrants that we didn't see before. And that to me is a really exciting place to be in, I guess.
And Liam, can you share some of your personal experiences or some examples perhaps of leading and living through the pandemic? How has it felt for you?
Yeah, so I guess like everyone, I felt really uncertain. There's that sort of ongoing uncertainty about what's next, where are things going? I've got a young family, and so on that personal level, you're worried about what the future looks like for them. And then I have a really big team that I lead, so I'm concerned about them and their families as well, and what the future holds for them. But as I said before, you know, you see people popping up, you know, in all sorts of different quadrants who are showing really creative and imaginative ways of navigating and leading through this change. And I think for me, what I've really noticed is where people have had really strong relationships before, those people you're able to pick up a phone, you had relationships not just through work, but outside of work as well. The ability for people to be able to lean on each other and then stand up and take some ownership through this crisis has been really quite significant. So on the Sunshine Coast, there was a really interesting project that happened where leaders from the state government got together with leaders from the local council, approached a community organisation on the Sunshine Coast, and everybody got around and put some wraparound support for people who were sleeping rough during the COVID crisis. Some absolutely amazing things came out of that. You know, there was people from the hospital calling the community organisation saying, you know, we know this person's sleeping rough, we're worried about their health, we know they sleep down in this area, can we get someone down there? The community organisation would get someone down there, sort of turning on a dime to get support down there that they needed, referring them on to the Department of Housing. Council were able to offer space for people to meet and provide spaces for people to get that wraparound support. And that was all stuff that was just coming spur of the moment. It was like every hour things were changing as more information came out about COVID and what was going to happen with COVID into the future. And I think that that was real leadership. You know, people who, in a hierarchical sense, in that sort of traditional institutional sense, potentially didn't have the power or the influence that you would expect a leader to have. But because of the relationships that they held and that real genuine passion for community outcomes, they showed their leadership. And that was really inspiring for me. And we've done everything we can to sort of corral that momentum and corral that energy and try to understand that and then keep that going. So who knows what happens, how long the coronavirus is here for, but we just want to keep that momentum going around. These things work. How do we keep these relationships going and then build on those relationships for more outcomes across the community? So that's been really interesting for me to be around and to learn from. You know, you find that knowledge exists in lots of different places. So talking to people who were sleeping rough, talking to people who were in that lived experience, they provided leadership as well, because they're able to say, I know this is what's happening on the ground. I know that these are places where people do go when they're feeling unsafe and uncertain. And so we'd follow those leads and we were able to find people and offer them support as well. So yeah, knowledge is coming from really new and different spaces. And I think that a true leader through this uncertainty will listen to that knowledge and embrace that knowledge and then work out what to do with it when it's in front of them.
You've just given us a really great example of leadership that works. I'm wondering if you've seen any examples or had any experience, particularly through the pandemic, of what maybe hasn't worked when it comes to leadership.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not working. And like I say, I think where it doesn't work is when we're trying to do the things that we were doing before. So before the pandemic, this is the way leaders behaved. This is the way leaders thought. This is the way decisions were made. And then you did that again. And then you did that again. And then you did that again. We can't do that anymore. And leaders shouldn't be doing that anymore. And I think, you know, particularly those people working in large institutions, whether it be government or the private sector, if you're putting up briefing notes to have a decision made by the person above you, or if you're looking for budgetary implications around a decision you make today that's going to impact the budget tomorrow, and if you're waiting for permission to make decisions when you know and your instincts or the people around you who are impacted by that issue know and tell you that we don't have time to wait for those decisions to be made, we need to make those decisions now, I think you're failing, you know, effectively as a leader. I think that the way we did things before was far more obtuse than it needed to be. I think that any idea that we had as leaders around putting processes in place that helped share the responsibility of leadership and helped kind of put some rigidity around notions of leadership are probably going to fail us into the future. I think we need to think a little bit more creatively and really inspire imagination in the people around us in terms of achieving outcomes. And again, I could go back to the same example where, we had some really strong success in the outreach support to people sleeping rough on the Sunshine Coast. There was a whole heap of examples where we had failures in leadership in that space. We had people who said, this all sounds like a really good idea. Can you get me a briefing note and give me some budgetary impacts for what you want to do? And I'll send that up the chain and we'll get back to you with an answer. And that person was doing what they'd always done before. That person was waiting to make sure that nobody was hung out to dry for doing the wrong thing. No one was making a call too preemptively or prematurely and we're going to get into trouble in the long run. So they were trying to slow decision-making down. They were trying to make sure that their teams were looked after and supported. But the real leader stood up and said, we're actually not going to wait for that decision to be made. We're going to do this now. We're going to unlock this door right now. We're going to ensure these services are provided right now. We're going to ensure that we've got resourcing out on the streets doing what they need to do. And we're probably just going to beg for forgiveness later. And what was really heartening is those leaders who were operating within the traditional confines of leadership, as time went by and we started to see that what was happening was really important and was getting the outcomes we wanted to get, they had that sort of integrity to say, actually, you know what? I'm going to get behind this now. There's some momentum here. This is really working. I'm probably just going to change the way I operate and get in behind this and support this. And so that's, I think there is some really strong momentum happening there at a local level. And I think, you can use the examples of the Jacinta Ardern in New Zealand and others who are inspiring that global leadership. But I think it's been really lovely for me at that really community level to see where people are standing up and taking ownership of these things.
And is there anything in particular that you've really learned about yourself from this situation?
Oh, besides that I know nothing about anything. And it is just really about, for myself, I guess, professionally, it has been about, God, I'm lucky to work with some really good people. And you've got to have good people around you who you trust implicitly and who aren't afraid to have really frank and fearless conversations with you, in times of crisis. Personally, I think I've reflected a lot around some of that stuff we used to do before as leaders that was just really white noise, that really was, not the real work, not really the conversations we needed or should be having. And it's provided me the opportunity to really focus and narrow down and say, these are the things that are important and this is where I'm probably going to spend my time in the future. And that can be as little as sitting with people and spending more time building relationships with people in and around the office, talking to people over the phone, hearing how things are going for people at home. So when you understand what they're bringing to work with them every day. And it's also just about looking at your workload and looking at, your business plan and going, I'm just going to throw this stuff out now because I don't think we need to be doing this stuff anymore. We need to be focusing on these sort of really key priorities and I'm going to get my team focused on them.
And as we move forward, what do you think we're going to need to see from our system leaders?
I think it is that. I think it is really a rationalisation around why do we do the things the way that we have been doing the things and how do we need to do them differently into the future. I think that, as I say before, time spent trying to unlock people's imagination around how they can do and be different in the world is really important for leaders. I think that the opportunity to open up the way we make decisions, the way we plan, the way we do strategy and invite new forms of knowledge into those conversations will be really important into the future because if we're learning anything, it's that there's a diversity of different ways to do things and be in the world. And if we can be open to those things as leaders and that diversity as leaders, we're probably going to be better equipped and more empowered to provide leadership to the people that we need to provide leadership to. Finally, and most importantly, I think that there's a really strong argument now to be made. There's decades worth of academia around this, but I think the power of relationships is probably what's going to be the thing that gets us through this uncertainty and uncertain times and transitions us through to what's coming next. And I think where we need to be spending our time is building really strong and solid and real, genuine, authentic relationships with people, understanding where they come from, communicating with them where we're coming from. So when uncertainty strikes and, when we're in times of crisis, or not, but we're in it together and we're working together as people on that level rather than just as positions adjunct to each other.
Have there been any other observations that you might have had about life and leadership amid this pandemic, given that you've probably been pretty busy, I imagine, and there may not have been a lot of time for reflection or even self-reflection, but was there anything else that stood out to you from this situation?
I think that whilst there's sort of there's a whole story of hope here, and there's a real narrative to be made around what things may look like in the future different to what it is today, I think that we can't underestimate that nostalgia and that pull to the past and this strong desire to a return to normal, to get the economy back on track, to get lives back to where they were before the pandemic. I think that's a really dangerous story to be telling. And I think that unless we're able to have some strong leadership around that that puts their hand up and say, actually, you know what? I don't think we want to return to normal. I don't think we want to go back to the way we were before, because the way we were before was what got us into this crisis in the first place. We probably need to think about doing and being differently. And I think that there's some learnings for me there. And I think there's learnings for all of us there around, we need to be really cautious about nostalgia. And we really need to be cautious around the desire to get things back to normality when potentially normality was the problem in the first place.
Well said. Liam, it would be great if you can share a bit about your experience with the Executive Challenge Academy, just moving away from talk of the pandemic. How did you come to be a part of this particular program?
I was working with a not-for-profit organisation who did refugee and asylum seeker support and was nominated by my executive at the time to join the academy. And you know, had a really profound sort of experience where I was exposed to this diversity of really valuable people who were, you know, overflowing with knowledge and experience and wisdom. And you just had this great opportunity to sit with them, learn with them, and go on a journey with some of my peers around that. And so on a personal level, you know, literally just before we started talking, I was texting a dear friend of mine who I met during my time with ECA, and we still stay in touch now. And our families catch up all the time. So I've made some really beautiful and important connections, not just professional, but personal as well. But it also, for me, triggered another journey around my academic career where I undertook a PhD in Futures and Foresight because of ECA. And that's really sort of meant that my learning journey started there as a leader, but it certainly didn't end. And even today, I'm continuing to learn, you know, what it means to be a leader through uncertainty, but also ensure that that learning is wrapped with some really strong theory, which I think ECA is really all about, is the way you're doing stuff and the way you are as a leader should really be underpinned by some really strong thinking and theory. And I feel really privileged to have been part of that.
So exactly what was it about the ECA that helped to influence your decision to undertake a master's and go forward with more study?
I really think it was just about, there's a really human-centred design process to the whole ECA challenge, which is what it forced me to do was sort of put a mirror up to myself and say, what is it that you want to be and how do you want to do this? And do you think you have the tools that you need to do that? And I think, you know, anyone being honest with themselves, you know, would always say, no, I need to know more. And so it was never really about professional development. I need to get from here to there to sort of progress myself professionally. It was more around, okay, I want to do this better. I've been exposed to all these amazing people who are doing it better. And so this is the journey I need to take to do that. And, you know, I had some amazing support from the leadership mentors there who worked alongside me, gave me some really strong advice, pointed me in the right direction, had some really strong support from my executive that, you know, I was working with at the time. So it really was for me more of a personal journey than anything else. Say there's probably other ways we could all be doing this stuff, and I want to be one of those people that's doing it differently. I just don't want to do it the way that it's always been done.
And how have those qualifications been important to your work?
I think everything you've heard from me today is really informed by those qualifications. It's a day-to-day thing. So I have this reflective voice in my head all the time that is calling back on itself. People I've met, people I've sat with and listened to and talked to, things I've read, experiences I've had through that learning journey that forces me to make sure I'm being really honest with myself and being honest with the people around me. So it's sort of a day-to-day thing where I have these foundations of what it means to be a leader. I don't really know what that looks like yet in practice, and I don't think I ever will know, but I'm sort of holding on and going along for the journey. And I think for me, the major learning is that everything is a journey. It's all a process. And the key to success through that process is that ongoing reflection and conversation.
And what's happening for you at the moment professionally?
Oh, goodness. We're still trying to navigate, you know, everything that is the pandemic at the moment. There is some sort of, I guess, quiet at the moment as we've seen people adjust to this way of being in the world. So we're trying at the moment to ensure, like I say, that that momentum that we were able to gather with some, you know, really beautiful and amazing examples of people standing up and showing leadership and taking initiative through the pandemic. I'm trying to work out how we can corral that momentum and corral that energy and just keep it alive. So what we're doing at the moment is we've just started a community leadership group, and that's a diversity of people that either through their professions institutionally or their positions in the community hold some sort of leadership. And we're meeting monthly to hold leadership conversations around, we're here, this has been a really significant shift for us as a community, so how do we want to be in the future? And so we've locked those people in for a long term. They'll work with us for 5 years. We're starting to have those conversations at that local level around, okay, so we've got all these people in the room, you're all leaders, you've experienced the same thing that, you know, the rest of the world has experienced at the moment. Who are we missing? How can we bring other people into the room? And how can we take the whole community on a journey to think about the transition and to think about what happens on the other side of this transition? And that's been really exciting for me, because that's a space where there's no hierarchy. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, we've got people there who are, you know, really high level executives. We've got people there who are community workers. But when they come into that space, we ensure that it's a space that's hierarchy free. There's no power. We want people to talk at a human to human level, and then really try to let their experience inform the way that leadership and that leadership group can take the community. So that's a really interesting space. And, you know, to be quite frank, is almost sort of a direct translation, or for me, taking the learnings I took from ECA is bringing people together to have conversations about leadership. And I'm trying to replicate that at a local level here. So it's been really interesting. It's only sort of in its infancy at the moment, but it's a really inspiring space to be in.
It sounds fantastic. It's going to be very interesting to see where that goes. We'll have to try and check in again to see once there's some time behind it. Well, Liam, it has been absolutely fantastic to talk to you today and to hear your experiences and get your perspectives. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you. It's lovely to speak to you.